You are listening to The Vitals, a bi-monthly podcast for all things oncology nursing. For even more content, check out oncologynursingnews.com or find Oncology Nursing News on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Hi, everyone. This is Lindsay Fisher, editor at Oncology Nursing News. For this episode of The Vitals, Seth Eisenberg discusses ongoing research efforts to quantify the value of toilet seat covers in oncology care settings. As he explains, healthcare professionals who care for patients with cancer are at an increased risk of developing health issues because of their chronic exposure to hazardous drugs. Specifically, the bathroom represents a repeated source of exposure, as this is where residue from these harmful substances are often found. To that end, Eisenberg and a co-investigator sought to test the efficacy of two interventions designed to reduce the spread of hospital toilet contaminants. So just to start off, can you discuss the background of this research?
So we did a study about a year ago where we actually looked at the efficacy of the splash blocker just to see how effective it was. And that study actually showed that it was about between 90 and 99% effective depending upon certain variables and the particle size we were looking at. But one of the things that I really wanted to do subsequent to that study was to look at how does it compare to the plastic-backed blue pads, because the ONS guidelines have been recommending using those plastic-backed pads for covering toilets for patients getting chemo for a long time. There's really not been a lot of evidence on that either way. So we wanted, number one, validate that, but also see how the two compared. So that was the origin of this study that just came out in CJON.
And so can you sort of describe the interventions and the methodology?
Sure. What we did with this study is we used the same aerosol research laboratory in the University of Oklahoma that we did the first study in, and it was a specially constructed bathroom chamber which had dual HEPA filters in it. The water pressure to the toilet was controlled by a pump, so we knew exactly how much pressure was going in. It was a commercial Kohler toilet like in most hospital settings like that. And what we did with that, and by the way, the other thing about this chamber is it had basically a remote control for flushing the toilet and a door that sealed it so that there was no interference on the particles that we were measuring from the outside. So the first thing we did was measure the ambient particle count using an optical particle counter, which would measure from like 0.3 microns all the way to 20 microns, which is basically the size of like from a white blood cell to twice the size of pollen. So we're talking about very small particles all the way around. Measured the ambient because you have to see what's in the environment first. Then we would go ahead and flush the toilet to get an uncovered number. Subtract the first from the second, and that gives you the net particle count. So we did that. Then we did it with the interventions, and we did actually this procedure three times where we had ambient, we had intervention, and subtracted it. And we did it three times with the splash blocker. And again, waiting to make sure that the particle count came back down to the ambient before proceeding to the next one, because you don't want the second test to be influenced by the first test, right? So we did that. Then we did it three times with the plastic-backed blue pads. Same exact procedure.
What were the findings? Did anything surprise you?
Ah, yes. So the findings actually were that, number one, both interventions were virtually equal in effectiveness. They reduced the particles by at least 99%. And I don't think I'd mentioned is we did the testing at two heights. So we did it at right above the toilet level and at 40 inches. And that 40-inch area was chosen because that's within the what we call the inhalation zone. So if you or I were in the bathroom and we reached over to flush the toilet, where would our faces be? Because we're really concerned about the inhalation of these particles. So 99% reduction with both interventions. So that was a little surprising because we didn't think that both would be equal. The other thing that was surprising is last year at ONS Congress, we did a survey of nurses, and 321, I believe, nurses surveyed, and we asked them a couple of questions. We asked them if they used the plastic back pads. We also asked them, what are the barriers to using these pads? And the common theme we heard as far as the barrier was that the pads tended to get drawn into the toilet after the toilet was flushed. not all the time, but it was common enough to be a problem, because once it's in the toilet, how do you get it out? Do you flush it again? Does the toilet get stopped up? You know. So we sort of anticipated that we might see that. What surprised us the most was the fact that each one of those tests with the plastic pad, all of them got sucked into the toilet. So that was surprising to us. We also then theorized, although we don't have the data to show it, that perhaps some of the efficacy of the pad was enhanced because it was actually sitting temporarily on top of the water itself as it fell in, which helped create like a blanket to cover it. But the fact that it fell in each time was concerning. So that was a big surprise.
Definitely. Thanks for pointing that out. And so moving forward, what are going to be the next steps?
Next steps. So in looking at the study design, every study has its weaknesses. And so we analyzed, you know, what are the weaknesses of the study? What could we do differently? And one of the things that came out of this, two things that came out. Number one is we only did six tests. So that's a pretty small N in the big picture. So we needed to do more testing. Number two is this was done in a controlled situation in a laboratory. And so I said, we need to do this in clinical settings. So right now we're in the middle of another study, and this study is actually looking at what happens in actual hospitals. So participants in this study, and we've gotten hospitals so far from all over the US, and we're still enrolling hospitals in this study. It just takes time because we have to travel all over the country to do this. And we use the same equipment, setting it up in patient bathrooms. And these are unoccupied patient rooms. So we do patient bathrooms, and we do the same thing. We're basically flushing without any cover on it, and then we're flushing with a splash blocker to see, do we get the same results in our patient room that we got in the laboratory? Because you never know unless you really look at it. And so far we've done like 7 hospitals. We've got like 34 bathrooms that we've done, which is a much bigger number. And the data has been absolutely consistent. So that's interesting. It's been very consistent. There are certain variables that affect the performance and the number of particles, such as the ventilation in the bathroom. And as a nurse, I never really gave much thought to what's going on in the bathroom. You know, you get in there, you do your thing, and you try to get out as fast as you can. And what we've learned is that floors that are HEPA filtered, so like a bone marrow transplant unit, generally performs better in terms of the least number of ambient particles compared to floors that are not HEPA filtered. We've also seen a wide variation in how effective the ventilation system is in each bathroom. Older buildings tend to be a lot worse than newer buildings. So that's a general thing, but we're not done yet. We've only gotten 34 bathrooms. We want at least 100. So we're still doing this. We are doing this free of charge. So we're enrolling these hospitals to do this as a multi-center study. There's no cost. It's all being covered by the study itself. And we're hoping to be done by the end of the year. And then I'll start writing it up and we'll try to get this published as well as a much bigger study.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Vitals. Be sure to never miss a beat with Oncology Nursing News.